Okay, good evening. Welcome back to Malachim Aleph. We are learning Perek Yud Zayin. In Perek Yud Zayin, we were introduced to Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? It was referred to in the beginning as Eliyahu HaTishbi. Right? We call him Eliyahu HaTishbi. But in the Navi, it refers to him as Eliyahu HaTishbi. And we learned that he began his, or he appeared in the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, issuing a stern warning to Achav, to King Achav, and basically saying there won't be any rain or dew. He mentions Tal also, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But there won't be any rain or dew. Unless I say so. And of course, this is as a result of Achav's terrible Averos and his Avodah Zarah, etc. And then we learned that Eliyahu fled. He ran for his life. And he was he hid in this valley, and he was fed by the ravens, and he was given drink by this stream that passed by, and eventually that all dries up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, okay, time for you to leave, time for you to go to Tzarfas, which is in Sidon. And he goes there and he meets this almana, and there's an almana, and the almana has nothing to eat. And Leo tells her, "Don't worry, don't worry." He swears. He says, "You're going to have plenty of flour, plenty of oil, and you won't have any issues." And that's what happens. And this, she has this miracle that that she has exactly what she needs, as the pasuk ends off. This was the last pasuk that we learned last time. That there was never an end to the flour and to the oil that she needed. Kidvar, exactly as Hashem had spoken through Eliyahu. Okay, so that's what we ended with last time. Now, all of a sudden, things take a turn for the worst, and this is Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And it was after these stories, Chala ben Ha'isha Balas Habayis, the son of this woman takes ill, Chazak Me'od, he becomes very sick, very ill, Ana Shalom Nosra Bo Neshama, seems to have like no life to him anymore. Okay, Radak says, what does that mean? Radak says, this is Machlokes. Did the boy actually die or did he not die? Some say he did not die, but there were no signs of life, so they couldn't notice it. The mother didn't see any breathing. She didn't detect the pulse, but he didn't actually die. Others, the Radak say that the boy actually did die. And if you look, the Radak says, I believe that that's the correct shot. He says, I believe that that's correct. That in this case the boy actually did not. Let me just verify that that's the case, but I believe that's what he says at the end. The Hanachon, he writes, Ki meis misa gemura. He says, I believe the correct approach is that the boy actually died, a real death, not just what was perceived as death, but a real death. Now, what was strange is that, this is like out of the blue. As the pasuk says, "Vayiachar chala ben Aisha." It's all of a sudden out of the blue. Okay, not only that, but it's following on the heels of a tremendous nace for this woman and her family. So now she's a little bit incredulous, and she says, according to the Malbim, "What's going on here? The Kadosh Baruch Hu just made a nace that I should be able to survive, that my family should be able to survive, and then what happens? There's nothing, right? My son's going to die. Well, what was the nace for then? What did I need a nace for? I only needed a nace in order to support my family. If I don't have a family, my son's dead. She was an almana. She didn't have a husband. Now my son's dead. What do I need this for? What do I need a nace for?" So she's incredulous. She's about to ask this question. Now, what's interesting, we spoke last week, not last week, but last time, we spoke a little bit about the three keys. Remember the Gemara in Tainus that says there are three maftechos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to for himself. He doesn't give it to other shlichim. We learned that means maybe he gives it to them periodically, but not, that's what Tosfos says, but he doesn't give it to them, free access, so to speak. One was rain, which we saw already. Eliyahu seems to have the key of rain. Tchias Hameisim, and the third one is, I'm blanking now. Rain, Tchias Hameisim. There's the fourth. That's Parnassa. Some say Parnassa is rain. Is the same thing. Leida, right? Having a child. Having a child is the third one. Okay, so says the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek on Kuf Yud Gimel here that here what happened? Eliyahu wanted the key of Tchias Hameisim. The boy's dead. The boy's dead. So Eliyahu wants to revive him. He wants the key of Tchias Hameisim. Amri Le, Shalosh Maftechos Lo Nimsiru L'Shaliach. There are three Maftechos not given to a Shaliach. Shal Chayav, Shal Gishavim, Shal Tchias Hameisim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eliyahu, Yomru, Shtayim V'yad Tamar, V'yachas V'yad Arav. If I give you now the key of Tchias Hameisim, that means of these three special keys, you have two and I have one. How's that going to look? So what happens? I see her to shokil hai. Because Baruch Hu says, give me back the key for the rain, I'll give you the key for Tchias HaMeisim. Dichsiv leich hera el acha ve'et namata. We'll see the language in a little bit. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the language that I will bring the rain. Okay, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him the key to rain. Hashem says, you can't have two keys at the same time. These are my three special keys. I can give one of them to you on a temporary basis, but you can't have two of them. You can't have two of them. But that's what Eliyahu wants now, because this kid is according to the Radak and others, the kid is mamash dead. To be a samaisin. Tomer el Eliyahu perek posuk yudches. Ma liv alach isho elokim. She says, what do we have between us here? Is there some kind of a dispute, some kind of a machlokes? You have a taino on me? Isho elokim basta elai lehaskir es havoni ulamis es bini. You came to me, right? You came to me to mention my sin and now to kill my son. Why'd you come even? Now, what is this lahaskira savoni? Lahaskira savoni. What does that mean? To mention my sin? Where did Eliyahu mention her sin? Right? What sin are we talking about? So most of the mafarshim here, the Metzudas David and Rashi both say this, that this woman was a tzadekes. Right, she was in Tsarfas and Sidon, whatever this town was called. She was a tzaddikah. She was a righteous woman. But that was relative to everyone else who lived there. Once Eliyahu HaNavi shows up, so then what is she? She's not so choshev anymore. Right? So, lehazkir savoni, to mention my sins, doesn't mean actually to mention her sins, but it means that her stature was diminished once Eliyahu showed up, because her chashivus was relative to her townspeople. Now Eliyahu's in town. He's the tzaddik. He's the righteous. He's the navi. Now she's, what is she? She's a nobody again. Right? So that's according to some, that's lahaskir es avoni. The Radak says maybe lahaskir es avoni means maybe I'm being punished because I didn't serve you properly. When you came here, maybe I didn't go above and beyond to take care of you. The Malbim says that she actually was, she was concerned that maybe the miracles that Eliyahu did, that we ended off last time, that the flour and the oil didn't end, maybe those miracles were not regular miracles through Hashem. Maybe they were through some other sources. Kishuf, right? Sorcery, black magic, maybe something like that. And she's concerned that maybe he's not really 100% in Isha Elokim. That was part of her concern. That was part of her concern. And maybe because she benefited from these miracles from the dark side, so to speak, then maybe that's why she's being punished and my son is dying. And according to the Malbim, that's lahazkira savoni. Maybe that's my sin. Right? You came here and you're doing all these miracles of black magic and I'm benefiting from them, and now that's my sin. And now Ulahamis has been isbini. And now my son is dying as a result of that sin. Okay. Pasuk Yates, Vayomer Eileha, Tenilies Benech. So he says, all right, give me your son. Vayikachehu Mecheka. He takes the child from her. Vayalehu El Ha'aliyashahu Yoshev Shom. And he brings him up to the loft where he stays. Heashkivehu Al Mita. So when he puts him down on his bed. Okay, now. So the Malbim says, what's he doing here? Why does he do this? So he wants to show her that her son's death is paining him also greatly, almost as if he died. And that's why he's laying him down on his bed. The symbolism of laying him down on his bed is that it's as though I died. Right? That's how seriously I'm taking the death of your son, as if I died. Look, laying down on my bed. Just like if I was dead, I would be laying down on my bed. Now the Malbim says, you know, interestingly, Eliyahu was lo tam tamisa. Eliyahu never died. Right? We know Eliyahu was taken up in a fiery chariot. Right? We're going to learn about that, you know, at the end. He was taken up in a fiery chariot. He never died. Right? So Eliyahu is lo tam tamisa. This is a little bit of a strange symbolism, you know, but it says the Malbim, that's the symbolism here. That he's showing her that your son's death is so you know, painful for me. It's as if I died myself. Okay, now what does he do? Vayikra el Hashem vayomar. He calls out to Hashem and he says, Hashem Elokai, Hagam al ha'almana asher ani misgorer ima hareosa lahamis es bina. You're even doing something negative for this woman, this poor woman. She's an almana. But what did she do wrong? And now you're taking her son. Now you're killing her son. Now what's the focus here? Asher animis gorer ima, that the almana with whom I'm staying, with whom I'm living. Right? What is that? So the Radak says, and the Mitzvah Asavet also works with this kind of approach, is that, you know, I'm being punished. Remember, Elio was being punished a little bit here. Why? Because he prevented rain from Klal Yisrael. Right, we learned about that last time, and he was taken to task for that. That, you know, because Baruch Hu said, "Listen, not so simple what you did." You know, again, he was well intentioned, trying to show that Achav was doing something wrong. But we said you have to realize you're taking away Parnassa from Jews. It's not so simple, not so simple. So Leo says, "Okay, listen, I understand. You want to punish me, right? So I have to go into Golos. I have to go into exile. I have to end up by this woman being taken care of by her." I understand. I get it. But now, but what I did was so bad that just because I'm by her, now she's going to get punished. It's one thing to punish me. But now you're saying that what I'm doing is so terrible that because I'm staying with her, she's getting punished. Right? It's almost like, you know, she's getting, you know, you know, the fire is here. So then even the people at the periphery of the fire getting burned. Right? It's so bad that even the people that I'm staying by, right? Even the people that are hosting me are getting punished. That's what's going on here. That's what Elio is incredulously asking Hashem. So what does he do? Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayismodeid al hayelet shalosh pe'amim. So Vayismodeid, the Mefarshim say, like a madad means to measure, that he lays down on top of the child, like measure, like, you know, measure, like face to face, hands to hands. Now we learned that this is all ringing a bell because this is what Elisha does. Right, Elisha is the more famous story with bringing the child back, because Elisha, you know, we'll learn that story with Elisha. But that's the one where she didn't have a child, Elisha finally davened, and then she had a child, and then the child got sick, right? Choshli Roshi, you know, so we'll learn about that story. But that's a more famous story, and that's more explicit. But the Mefarshim understand that Eliyahu essentially did the same thing here. Maybe Elisha even learned it from his Rebbe, Eliyahu. And Eliyahu Yismodeid, he's measuring up. He's putting his face on his face, his hands on his hands, his body on his body. He does this three times. Vayikra el Hashem vayomar, and he calls out to Hashem and he says, Hashem Elokai, toshov na nefesh hayelet hazeh al kirbo. Please return the soul of this child. Please return his soul. Now, what's the pshat that he's doing this? So the Radak says, vayismodei, the reason why he's doing this is because when he's on top of this child, he's going to have much more kavana when he davens. You know, it's one thing to daven for a child. You know, I never liked when, you know, after davening, so they just started saying Tehillim for some chola, right? I always said, like, you know, who's a chola? You know, we're saying to, you know, sometimes this happens at the end of Minyan, you know, they say Tehillim for some random chola. You don't even know who it is. What's the big secret? Okay, sometimes people don't want it. They don't want to at least say something. At least say a relative of someone in the shul, a relative of someone in the yeshiva, you know, say some kind of you know, identifying information. People should feel something. You know, I'm saying to them, I don't even know what I'm saying. So says the Radak, when Eliyahu is lying down on top of this child, He felt it. He feels the child underneath him. His tfilos are a different tfilos. His tfilos are a different tfilos. So he did this in order to be able to have more kavana when he davened, and there was a greater chance his tfilos would be accepted if he had greater kavana. Interesting. I don't know. I don't think this is the source. I don't think. I seem to recall that it has something to do more with Yaakov. When Yaakov was on his deathbed, Yosef came to him, and the Shekhinah was Lamala Mirosho. I don't remember exactly. I don't think this is mentioned as the source. Again, he's not a chola. This is de he's dead. I mean, you know, according to one approach, maybe according to that one approach in the Radak, maybe he was a chola. But according to the simple understanding, the boy was no longer living. I hear you. I don't think so, but I hear you. I hear you. But here, it's interesting. He does make one fascinating connection. He says that we find when Rivka was davening for a child and Yitzchak was davening for a child. So what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says that Hashem listened to Yitzchak's tefillah, right? But it says, Vayetar Yitzchak lenochach ishto. Yitzchak davened across from his wife. So says the Radak, what was he across from his wife? Well, go daven in shul. No, Yitzchak specifically wanted a daven next to his wife. Why? Because when his wife is standing right here and she's the Akara, she can't have children, I'm going to have greater kavana if I'm right next to her. I'm going to have greater kavana. So maybe that's part of the idea of davening by a chola. You daven by the chola. It's one thing. You daven in your house for a chola, fine. But you're standing next to the chola's bed and you daven from, you're going to have more kavana. Right? Beautiful. But it shows, you know, we have to have more kavana when we daven. We have to try to do these things, you know, to engender our kavana. Now, the Radak also says, fascinating, that maybe Pashat Pshat, he was also trying to warm up the boy's body. And that's why he put his face on his face, you know, so that his breath would warm him up and his body heat would warm up the body. Why? Why? So he says, very interesting. He says that we find that even with Nisim, there's some element of nature. There's some element of Teva within the Nes. He doesn't say this, but I was just thinking like Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Kriyas Yamsuf, we just read Parshas B'Shalach, Kriyas Yamsuf. So what happened? There was a Ruach Kodim Azah. There was a very strong eastern wind. Now, it's true that this was a miraculous wind and it wasn't just a natural wind. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Nes through the means of a little bit of Teva. There was a little bit of Teva mixed in there. Hashem just kind of, you know, he amplified the Teva, so to speak. He amplified the Teva. We find many Nisim, says the Radak, where it's amplified Teva. So to hear, he knew, of course, this would be a Nes. The kid is dead. To come back to life, you know, you need a supernatural miracle. But there should be some element of Teva here, and that's why he wanted to warm up the body, so that that was the beginning, so to speak, of the natural process. The Malbim says here something very interesting. Also, he says that what's the three times? Vayismodeid ala yelad shalosh pa'amim. So the Malbim says, he says, I spoke about this somewhere else. I don't know where he spoke about this. I didn't have time to do like the requisite research to find it. But the Malbim says, I said this somewhere else, that there's three elements of the human body. He calls it the nefesh hativis, chiyunis, and midaberes. So tivis is like the natural nefesh. Chiyunis is also some kind of life force. Midaberes is the speech element, that which makes human beings unique. And he says the three times represent these three aspects of the human being. And that's why he did this, vayismodeid aliyah l'shalosh pa'amim, to kind of reinvigorate these three aspects of the human being. However, there's one thing that I can't do, says Eliyahu. And what's that? The nefesh. The nefesh I can't do. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's realm. And that's why after he works on the body to prepare the body for the tchiyah, then he turns to Hashem and he says, Hashem Elokai toshovna nefesh hayelet el al kirbo. That I can't do. That's in your realm. And we know by Yipach be'apav nishmas chayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can blow a life force into a human being. Okay, so Kadosh Baruch Hu hears Eliyahu pasuk chavez. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu v'atashrav nefesh hayeled al kirbo v'ayechi. Kodesh Baruch Hu hears him, and he blows back the nefesh into the child, and the child comes back to life. Vayikach Eliyahu es hayeled v'yoridehu min ha'aliyah habaisa. So Eliyahu takes the child, he carries him down from the loft down into the house. Child is Baruch Hashem alive. Vayitnehu li'imo vayomer Eliyahu ri'i chai b'nech. He hands the child over to the mother and he says, "Look, your child lives." Pasuk of Dal vaytomer ha'isha el Eliyahu ata ze yadati ki ish elokim at. She says, "Oh, now I really know that you're a man of God." As the Radak says, I see. Right, I see that you brought my son back to life. Now I see that everything that you said was really nevuah. Everything that you said when you told me before that my flour and my oil won't run out, that was nevuah. Right, and he says maybe he said to her, "I'll bring back your son," and that I see that you intended and that you did that also. The Mitzudas David says, and again, this is also the Malbim and the Mitzudas David both say. That originally, remember, she doubted Eliyahu. She thought maybe it was sorcery. The Mitzvah Sava says she thought maybe he was just repeating the Nebuah from someone else. No, now I see that it's legitimate. Now I see that you're 100% that you're an Isha Elokim, and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through you is Beficha, right? Ki Isha Elokim Ata, Udvar Hashem Beficha Emes. Everything that you say comes from Hashem and is true. Okay, that's the end of Perek Yud Zayin. Now let's begin Perek Yud Ches. We'll try to do half of Perek Yud Ches tonight. Move a little quicker. I'm just going to stop the recording and then restart it.